Hi, you're listening to my favourite Elliot Smith song. This is the podcast that's all about keeping Elliot Smith's legacy alive in our own very small way. And we do that by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So thanks very much then for joining us for this episode. This one is with the musician Jason Lytle, who many of you will, I'm sure, be familiar with, whether it's from his work as a solo artist or with the band Grandaddy. And it was with Grandaddy that Jason first came into contact with Elliot Smith when they toured together in the year 2000. And in this interview, Jason discusses meeting Elliot for the first time, how their friendship developed, and of course, his favourite song. So here's the interview then. This is Jason talking to Elizabeth Woodstanley in Los Angeles.
I chose Waltz Number 1, which is off of the album EXO. I think Elliot was really strong at a lot of different types of songwriting. He was really good at orchestrating and arranging and kind of mapping out and very meticulous about, you know, building songs. But then he would also, then there's some songs too, which are just more like, you know, it's like it came to him in a dream, you know, or it was capturing that dream and being able to capture a feeling. Is, you know, where it's not so laid out like a, you know, like an architect's blueprint, but it's just like, you know, you've sort of taken a snapshot of a dream, and I feel like he did that really well with this song. Because it's like a dream, but then it's also grounded by real talk. I mean, he does this thing, the way that he speaks in the song, it's kind of like that song, I'm Not in Love by 10cc. It's like the guy is just like, it's real talk. Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr. does it a lot too. It's just, you feel like you're talking to a friend and they're talking in a real normal kind of conversational way and burying their soul, but sort of doing it in a very regular kind of way. But I think that sort of framed in this floating kind of beautiful nebulous piece of music is a contrast that I really appreciate. Capturing this, just a feeling, it's tough to do, you know, especially when you're obsessed with, you know, making songs and constructing songs, and there's a lot of work that goes into, you know, all the building blocks and the architecture of writing and recording. You almost think you can just be like, all right, I'm gonna make this pretty thing and it's gonna make people feel a certain way, and those end up being like the hardest, you know, because first off you have to have that, you know, you have to have that feeling to begin with, and then you somehow need to direct all the instruments and lay it all out in your head and hope that everything's going to come out in a relaxed enough way to support that feeling, like you're still guiding the instruments, hoping that they're going to continue to support you and capture that feeling, that original feeling that you had. And I just think he nailed it with that song.
It seems like he's sort of admitting some type of defeat in this song, in a way.
Yeah, it's like, well, especially, you know, the very last line. Now I never leave my zone, we're both alone, I'm going home. I wish I'd never seen your face. And he says, I wish I'd never seen your face, or face, three times. And the third time that he says it, It's like he sings the first one, he sings the second one, and then he sings, and then it becomes human at the very end of the word face, and it's like freaking heartbreaking. You could tell that he was really kind of feeling it when he tracked the vocal.
It's kind of like a harsh lyric in a way too. Like,
I relate to it so much, and I'm sure that had a lot to do, you know, despite my best efforts, I've been a little unlucky in love. And I think a lot of it is due to my obsession with my work and my commitment to, you know, making these beautiful things for people who you don't know. And then the trade-off is you end up not always being able to kind of nurture these relationships with people that maybe, you know, you do have the ability to be close to. And I kind of get a little bit of that out of this song as well.
When did you first meet Elliott Smith?
We actually did a pretty extensive tour with him, and it was, I don't know, a couple days into the tour, you know, you meet the band, and eventually everybody bumps into each other backstage, and I can't remember where we were, but I think we had a day off, and everybody was staying in some hotel, and everybody was just sort of, it was nighttime, and we're all just kind of lounging around out in some grassy area connected to the hotel, just drinking beers and, you know, getting to know each other. And of course, you know, everybody in his band was super cool, you know, just good people that he felt comfortable surrounding himself with. Some of them, you know, old friends, you know, Sam Coombs and, you know, Sean Sullivan. And yeah, he was out there and we were, yeah, it was just like, it was kind of seamless. It was just one of those things where, you know, of course we're going to meet at some point. Of course we're going to get along. Of course we're going to become friends, because we were very much of the same ilk. You know, we just sort of kind of grew up, you know, and from what I gather, similar upbringings, you know, kind of really influenced by punk rock. And I think even dabbled with skateboarding. I was really into like the skateboarding culture and still am, you know, connected with all of that, and then, you know, became obsessed with recording, and yeah, we got along really, really well, you know, just great. You know, I consider myself to have a very, very healthy sense of humor, and he had like a really kind of healthy, kind of dark but hilarious sense of humor as well. And yeah, just very laid back, you know, just, you know, kind of relaxed, and had a pretty good bullshit meter.
And he was touring with the Figure Eight album, I think. Was that the tour where you guys met? And
Yeah. That was, as a matter of fact, I remember, I don't know if we had found out that we were going to do a tour with him, but Jim Fairchild, the guitar player in Granddaddy, we were in an airport, and he had gotten Figure Eight, and he was listening. He had already been listening to it obsessively. And he was going on and on and on about it. And I was just like, all right, shut up. You know, I'll get my own chance to listen to it. Just but at some point he couldn't control himself anymore. And he forced me, he was like, you got to listen to this. And he shoved the earplugs in my ears. And it was Everything Means Nothing to Me. And I was just like the first thing that I heard off of that album, like, you know, with listening to it with earphones. And it went on, yeah, it probably went on to become my favorite album. As a matter of fact, this is like a total little sidetrack journey here, but I got to be part of this. In 2015, there was this, I went over to France, and I was a part of this project that did this chamber orchestra. It was called the Color Bars Experience, and it was basically, they got three singers. It was myself, Ken Stringfellow, and Troy Baltazar from this band Chokebore. We pick our songs that we want to do, and then we're backed by this chamber orchestra, and we did like a small tour throughout France performing Figure Eight, like from the first song to the last song, and that was pretty amazing. And just to be up on stage playing what's already these beautiful songs with these pretty faithful arrangements was sometimes it was too much. As a matter of fact, we played one show. This is the only time this has ever happened in my life. We played some show, and I would come out and do an encore of it was just a guitar player, and it was me singing, and it was like two or three string instruments, and we did Between the Bars, and I was somewhere around the first chorus. I started kind of losing it. I was going through all this personal stuff. There was like some deaths that I just got done dealing with. There was like some relationship stuff. And I kind of started to lose it. Like I was kind of getting choked up. And then it came back around towards the end of the song. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And I actually started bawling. And I couldn't finish the song. And I ran off stage. I was like, it almost looked like something that was constructed, and it's like, oh, so dramatic, you know, the French people are gonna love this. And it was just like, it was too brutal. Like, it was like something about how beautiful the music was and the words and the sentiment and what I was going through at the time. And I was just like, I couldn't handle it.
I mean, he's obviously left, some sort of lasting impression on you that you gravitate to his music, you play it live, you did this Color Bars experience.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that, I don't know, a memory or a lasting impression or sort of how you kind of come back to his music?
Yeah, that's a hard one. You know, it was, part of it was like such a period of time for me. You know, I just feel like it sucks that I even have to be sitting here talking about it like this, like he should be around and still cranking out awesome albums. So obviously a big part of it is just because he's gone, and that's the only reason I'm sitting here talking about it. I would undoubtedly, if he was still around, you know, I would still be a huge fan. Yeah, it's been nice having him and his catalog in my life, and it's obviously been a huge influence on me. I'm just going to say one thing that I heard him say. We went out one night, and we were out walking around, and somehow we got talking about like fights that we've gotten into. I look at Elliott Smith, and I go, oh, he's a fighter. Look out for him. But he's probably, I think he was saying he was like sticking up for somebody, and which I can see that, you know. Like that scene in Cool Hand Luke where, you know, he keeps getting punched, and George Kennedy tells him just to stay down, stay down. He just keeps getting up. He's like, stay down, stay down. I see, like, if I'm going to picture Elliot fighting, it's going to be more like that. He's just like, but he actually said, I thought this was the funniest freaking thing. I've never heard anybody say this before. He's like, yeah, I'm the only one I know that's actually been knocked out twice in a fight. Just like, that's funny. Knocked out twice in a fight.
Thanks very much then to Jason Lytle and Elizabeth Wood Stanley for that great interview. And we're nearly finished with this one. I just wanted to say quickly before I go, we've got a special episode coming up next time. We're speaking to the three guys who are now running Elliot's old studio, New Monkey. The show will be up in a couple of weeks, so do keep an eye out for that episode. Lastly, I just wanted to do a quick plug for our social media channels. We're now on Facebook as well as Twitter and Instagram, so do follow us on there if you can. And if you want to stay updated with things that we're working on, thank you so much for listening to My Favourite Elliott Smith Song. We'll see you again soon.